When I was newly saved, I was invited to be a part of a youth musical at a church. I wasn't attending that church. I had only known the Lord about 3 months, and the folks that led me to the Lord didn't invite me back to church there, gave me a Bible and said, read this, and so I did. Didn't know to go to church, but I got a call out of the blue from a lady at a different church, and she needed a trumpet player for this youth musical that they were doing, and so she had called the local high school and spoken to the orchestra director. I played in the high school orchestra, and so he knew me and got us connected. And I played trumpet in their accompaniment band, and we toured with the youth group as they presented their play at various churches all throughout that fall season. I joined that church, and a handful of people took me under their wing and nurtured me in the faith. And one of those was the youth musical director, Jean Tobelman. Jean was about 35 years old, and she and her husband, John, had two girls who were both in elementary school. So they were, I don't know, 5 or 6 years younger than me. So they were a family. They had their own life. But she saw this 15-year-old kid, poorly dressed, shy, but who was a new Christian, and coming to church all by himself. So Jean and her husband welcomed me into their home on numerous occasions to build into my life. Perhaps Jean, even more than John, had a great influence in my life. She talked to me about growing in Christ. She talked to me about the crazy stuff going on in my home. She taught with me about how to grow in social skills, deeply needed. She talked with me about serving God and my call to the ministry. She genuinely cared for me, and the truth is, my life is dramatically different because of the influence of Jean Tobelman. I watched her live out a genuine and vibrant faith. Now, Jean Tobelman could have easily have thought, I have my own family, and we're pretty comfortable the way things are. We don't need some stranger, some teenage boy in our home. You know, we don't need to take on some sort of project here. We've got our own lives to live, our own children to raise. We've got enough on our plate. It would have been very easy for Mrs. Tobelman to come to that conclusion, but she didn't. Instead, she made a decision to have a broader influence. And for me, it made all the difference. This is Mother's Day, and I've felt led to take a different sort of approach in my remarks today. We, of course, honor you today, our own moms and the moms of our children, and rightly so. The influence that you have in the home is immeasurable, and we thank God for you. I mean, trust me, we do. As guys, we know that, for the most part, we're idiots. And if it weren't for you, the whole world would know. So, really, thank you. Yeah, not a problem. But as much as we are grateful for the influence and the indelible impact you have in our lives and the lives of our children, I'd like you to consider having a broader influence. In other words, consider being a mom to more than just your kids, which is kind of the subtitle to my message today. Be a mom to more than just your kids. I mean, your kids first, of course. I mean, they're yours. But there are other kids out there who genuinely need you. Now, I already know that that this is going on a lot for many folks here at CBC. You are you're already having an amazing influence in the lives of plenty of other people. You are teaching other women. You're mentoring and discipling people. You're teaching a class. You're coming alongside a teenage girl and offering counsel and advice, biblical wisdom, a listening ear. And thank God for that. What a blessing, what a vital ministry. Because truth is, we have kids coming to our church here whose moms don't come, whose dads don't come. They come alone, as I once did. And they need all the godly influence that we can provide. Let's take a look at the scriptures and see where this whole idea comes from. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, Paul is writing to his beloved disciple Titus. Titus had served as a leader and an advisor at both Corinth and in Crete, offering spiritual guidance to both groups of believers there. And Paul is now writing to Titus, giving him advice as to how to help the believers there carry out the work of the ministry. And the first thing that Paul wants to encourage the people to do is to grow in the faith. He speaks of the joy of growing yourself. Because we often are quick to help others, but the fact is we need to grow ourselves. If we aren't growing deeply in the faith, then we can't be of much help to others because we can't take someone where we haven't been. Paul writes in verse 1, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Now, of course, Paul is writing to Titus, making this exhortation. But it applies to all of us who would seek to influence others towards spiritual maturity. Speak the things which are fitting of sound doctrine. The word fitting is rendered in older translations with the word becoming. Speak the things which are becoming of sound doctrine. We use the word becoming when we refer to a nice outfit that somebody's wearing. A woman picks out a dress or something and somebody might say, "That is very becoming of you." What they mean is, that dress is very attractive on you. Not in a sensual way, as most styles seem to want to do these days in our society, but the dress or the outfit brings out your dignity and your grace. It reflects well of you. It adorns you well in a dignified way. It is becoming of you. Well, here in our text, Paul is saying that our speech should be such that it reflects well of sound doctrine. It exhibits the dignity and the grace of sound doctrine, of biblical thinking, of values. Speak like that. Speak in a way that fits or is becoming of sound doctrine. Paul then gives a word of advice to men in verse 2, which we're going to skip over because it's Mother's Day, not Father's Day. And we'll pick up again in verse 3. "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good." So he's getting to the issue here of godly character. Women who want to have an influence for Christ in this world must first be women of godly character. In other words, grow yourself. Give attention to your own growth in godliness, and then you'll be able to help others grow as well. Because again, you cannot take someone where you have not been. Go deep in the faith yourself, and then you'll be able to take others with you. Grow in surrender to the Lord Jesus. Grow in intimate fellowship with Him. Grow in abiding and yielding to the Holy Spirit. Grow in submission to the Word. Grow in your passion and zeal for the cause of Christ, and you'll become the godly woman who can influence others also. If your well runs dry, you aren't able to offer much refreshment to others. Grow yourself. Take time to build your spiritual life deeply, and God will make you a person of influence. And perhaps the arena where God gives you the greatest opportunity to have that influence is with your own children. He gives you the joy of growing your kids. That isn't actually referred to here in our text in Titus 2, so I want you to just turn back a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5. 2 Timothy 1. "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Here Paul is writing to another of his beloved sons in the Lord, Timothy. And the thing I want us to notice in this reference, in this passage, is his reference to Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. These two were followers of Christ first, and then they won young Timothy to the Lord. And then Eunice and Lois helped Timothy grow into a man of sincere faith, which means a faith that is true, a faith that is genuine, a faith that is deep, a faith that is strong. They grew Timothy in the faith. And that's perhaps the highest privilege God gives to parents, the joy of growing our kids in the faith. Moms, you have a beautiful task and privilege to help your children grow in Jesus. Yes, the church helps. Yes, their Sunday school teachers help. Yes, their Awana leaders help. Yes, their VBS teachers and leaders help. But the person in the most significant place of influence is you, their mom. When Kristen and Sarah were little, I loved reading Bible stories to them. We had a whole slew of children's books that illustrated many of the great Bible stories that we all love. And I would read those stories to Sarah and Kristen over and over, certainly at bedtime, but just during the day. We really enjoyed that time together. But the person that demonstrated to our daughters what it meant to love Jesus and to follow Jesus day in and day out was Jan. I was off at seminary. Or, you know, needing to want to pay the bills, I was washing windows or valet parking or different odd jobs as well. And when I got a church position later on, I was busy with that. I mean, sure, I was home a lot. I spent a lot of time with the wife and the kids, and I loved that. But Jan was there hour after hour throughout the day, living out her faith before them. More than anyone else, Jan grew their faith. What a joy and a privilege God gives to moms to grow their kids, to raise them up to become godly men and women who go into the world ready to do God's bidding. What an amazing opportunity to have a broader influence by influencing those closest to you first and foremost. Every life that Kristen and Sarah touch is a life that Jan touches through them. And that's how it works. The treasure that Kristen and Sarah store up in heaven is in some measure also credited to Jan's account because she built into them the things of the faith. Moms, may you find great joy in growing your kids to the glory of God. But my challenge to you this morning is to have a broader influence. First, grow yourself. Second, grow your kids. But don't let it end there. There is great joy in growing others. Back to Titus. Again, he's speaking to older women, older in the Lord, that is, those who are more mature in the faith, and he says in verses 4 and 5, encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, we're not going to spend the remainder of our time deciphering what all the specific instructions mean, but the scenario that Paul sets up here is the more mature women should be coming alongside the spiritually younger women and helping them grow and mature in the faith. Paul challenges them to have a broader influence beyond their own families by building into the lives of others. Now, we have a lot of that going on at CBC already, and I'm very grateful that we do. We have several women who mentor some of the young teens here in our church. We have several of our more mature women who are teaching others, who are counseling others in the faith, who are coming alongside other women and with encouragement and exhortation to aid, to guide, to comfort, to advise, to spur on and to help press on in the Christian life. And that is a very good thing of which there is great reward. But perhaps there's something God is speaking to you about this morning. Perhaps God wants you to get involved in the joy of growing others, of having a broader influence. Or you may be thinking, I can't do that. I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. Okay, that's between you and God. But the fastest way to get there and to get where you're able to build into somebody else's life is to let a more mature woman build into yours. Let someone teach you and you'll be able to teach others. Let someone disciple you and you'll be able to disciple others. Let someone help you and you'll be able to help others. If you do, you'll soon find God opening doors where you have a genuinely broader influence. It's a very simple concept. Older women encourage and help the younger women. Older women come alongside the younger women. More mature women build into those who are newer in the faith, those less far along in their Christian walk. It's a very simple principle if we will follow it. What blessing there is, what joy there is when we do. This Mother's Day, you can choose to be a mom to more than just your kids. You can choose to have a broader influence. As I describe the joy and the challenge of helping others grow, of broadening your influence, I want you to know that God doesn't just bless the times that you take someone on as a mentor for the next year or two or whatever that might mean. That's a big commitment and a wonderful thing and a great impact to have. But he doesn't just bless that. He doesn't just bless the time that you meet regularly with another woman who's struggling and in need of godly counsel, though he blesses that greatly. He doesn't just bless the times that you take on a long-term commitment to build into the life of somebody else, though he blesses that greatly. He also blesses in the little things, the daily things, the small acts of kindness and service that show the love of Christ. That daily faithfulness to be God's vessel of love toward others is something that God greatly rewards. He will use it to change lives in ways that we may never fully know. Robin Jones Gunn is one of the leading Christian authors of the past two decades. She's written over 75 books, 51 of them Christian novels, including the Christy Miller series, the Sierra Jensen series, and the Glenn Brooks series. She sold over 4 million books worldwide and has received numerous publishing awards. Robin Jones Gunn has had a broader influence. But she describes an event in which God taught her a significant life lesson. She writes, "We lived in a small university town where God opened up many opportunities for ministry. My husband was working as a youth pastor. We had teenagers over to our house all the time, and even had a college student living with us in our home. I accepted a part-time position as a radio host on a Christian radio station in town. I was busy writing a series of teen novels for a Christian publisher. Women's groups were asking me to speak at various events. In practically every way I knew how, I was serving God and His people. One winter's night, I was on the phone with my best friend, Donna. In 3 weeks, we were flying to Europe, where I had been invited to speak. There was so much to do, and I told Donna, if one more person asks for one more little piece of me, I'm going to fall apart. I have no more pieces to give. As I was speaking with Donna, the call waiting signal on my phone started beeping. Somebody was trying to call in. I ignored it, but the caller continued to dial in. Just a minute, Donna. It was almost 10 o'clock at night, and the caller turned out to be my neighbor, Jana. She said, Robin, I don't know who else to call, but could you come over just for a minute? I couldn't imagine what Jana wanted. I'd invited her to church with me, but she hadn't come. I'd given her all of my books, but she hadn't read them. I told her when my radio program aired, but she never listened. I'd given her 2 books by important Christian counselors when her husband left her, but she hadn't gotten around to reading them. The way I saw it, I'd done my part. Jana simply wasn't interested in coming to the Lord. I considered just telling her, no, I can't come over right now. I was busy. It was late. It was snowing outside. I'd just go over in the morning. I mean, whatever it was, it could wait till then, certainly, right? But instead, I heard myself saying, okay, I'll be there in a minute. I told Donna I'd have to call her back, and I jerked the front door open and marched up the street to Jana's house. When I arrived at her door, Jana stood there on crutches. I'd forgotten that she told me a week ago that she was having her right hip replaced. She'd already had her left hip done, and now both hips were replaced before she was even 35 years old. She had severe arthritis. Her mother had come in from the East Coast to help for a few days, but now she had gone home, and Jana stood there before me all alone. Thanks so much for coming, Jana said, showing me in and hobbling to the hospital bed set up in her living room. I didn't know who else to call. You see, I wanted to go to bed, but she looked down at her feet. I couldn't take off my shoes. In that moment, I realized that I thought I was some sort of super ministry woman. But nope, the role God had for me was untying the laces of my neighbor's tennis shoes. I knelt down, and let me tell you, it was all I could do to not wash her feet with my tears. I saw what God desired for my life. I suddenly understood His concept of ministry. All God was asking me to do was to love Him and love my neighbor. I untied Jana's shoes and slipped them off her feet. Then I helped her take off her sweatpants. I saw the scar. It was vile. So much pain, I thought, and no one here to comfort her. Jana slid into bed, but I didn't want to leave just yet because my task was done. I pulled the comforter up to her chin and asked if I could get her a cup of cold water. I brought one for her, and she took several sips from the glass. Then before I could be self-conscious about what she might think, I kissed her on the cheek and said, "Good night, Jana. I love you." "I know," she said. "That's why I called you. I knew you would come." A year and a half later, Jana gave her life to the Lord. We had moved to another state when she called and told me the good news. She was excited about plans to go on the women's retreat and to start going to a weekly Bible study group at her new church. More than once, I have wondered what would have happened if I had said no on that snowy night. After all, I had books to write, planes to catch, a radio show to record. What if I had missed the opportunity for the pure and undefiled ministry of loving my neighbor? God used a simple little thing, just untying a neighbor's shoes, to help change someone's life. So, if you have the opportunity to have a broader influence by mentoring or discipling somebody, take it. And if you have the opportunity to have a broader influence by providing godly counsel to a woman in need, take it. And if you have the opportunity to have a broader influence by untying someone's shoe or giving them a cup of cold water, take it. God used Jean Tobelman to change my life. May God use you, the mothers of our children, and as women of influence in the lives of countless others, may God use you to change the world to the praise of His great name. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have so ordered things in this life by your great wisdom that we would have moms. Lord, we are humbled at how you use such a significant person in our lives. Thank you. For those of us who have kids, thank you, Father, for the moms you blessed us with who raised them, who join us and partner with us in raising up a godly heritage. Thank you, too, for the many women here in our church who choose to have a broader influence. Lord, I pray for others that maybe haven't considered that, where you might have them be a mom to more than just their kids. Father, may you inspire each one to look beyond the borders of their own life and touch the lives of many, many others. You have so gifted them, so blessed them in many ways. And Father, your desire is to use them mightily to change the course of this world. And for that we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.